All right, the book of Ephesians chapter 1. In this, our school of prayer, the series we have been doing for a few days now is about prayer and personal purification. That's what we called it. That is, the Bible says that take heed to yourselves. All right, we read from the book of Luke in where Jesus was talking about the end times and things that will take place. That we read that from the book of Luke chapter 21. And it said, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. So instead of letting that happen, watch ye therefore, verse 36, and pray always. That is, he was saying the defense against being overtaken suddenly by that day is in watching carefully in prayer. He said, keep on. Okay, that was from the King James. He said, my normal Bible, New American Standard, it says, but keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place. So we're explaining that the Bible says, take heed to yourselves, be on guard concerning yourself. And we said that prayer is not directed, first of all, against your enemies. And most of the things we are concerned about concerning enemies, actually they have been taken care of by the power of the blood of Jesus, the sacrifice on the cross. And that the prayers he prayed, all right, he said, contend with those who contend with me. It has been answered, and you don't need to bother yourself spending all your time on things that don't concern you. I gave the example that planes are flying all over Nigeria, all over Enugu, where you are here, or wherever you are. If they are international flights, you don't know. They are going over your head. It doesn't concern you. So don't let the works of the enemy be a disturbance to your soul. It's none of your problem. But what we should do with our prayers is to use them properly. You know, the last series we did was on the matter of intercession. That is, how to take charge of the things, the affairs of this life, okay, with prayer. And then now we are talking about what prayer does for you as a person in walking in walking in the will of God. Because we said that there's really nothing the devil can do against you as long as you are where God expects you to be. Job, you know, it's these days that we know about Satan. Job was not aware that somebody like that existed, yet Satan was careful not to go near him. You must understand that Job did not even know he existed as a person. Israel did not know that he existed as a person. We would talk about him all the time. A lot of Christians spend more, if you check their meditations, they spend more time on the devil and enemies and stuff like that than they do on the power of God and on the power of Christ. We talk so much about the devil these days, but if you look at it, there's no reference, there's nowhere in the Bible you hear that Abraham was even aware of the fact that that fellow existed, all right? Job was not aware, all right? Yet, he was protected. And we know from the Bible that he was there. He had his activities. When Job was tempted, it was the devil that was going around with the power of death, destroying things around Job. But Job was not aware of that. Job was conscious of the fact that my Redeemer lives. That is, as long as my issue with my Redeemer is solved, I have no problem. And before these problems commenced, Satan himself testified. When God said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, yes, I've considered him, and there's really nothing we can do about him because you have surrounded him with an edge round about. And I'm saying again that you also are surrounded. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
It's a fact. You also are surrounded. Job was not more surrounded than you are today. The problem. Listen to this. The problem is that men, women, the people of God often take themselves out from where God kept them surrounded. Yeah, you getting my point? God surrounded them somewhere with his blessing. God surrounded them somewhere with his power. And instead of them to stay there, what they do is to run away. And why do they run away? Is the temptations of life. There are temptations. We look at the story of Balaam. I think was it, which day of the week did you do that? Was it on Tuesday? During the school of prayer on Saturday? All right. Now, we look at the issue of Balaam, that Balaam was, the story is clear, that Balaam said it clearly. There was nothing that he could do to the people of God. He said there's no enchantment against Jacob, all right, no divination against Israel, and the people were not aware. So we said the only thing that took them out into the place where in quotes, the devil could not afflict them, was that Balaam taught Balak how to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel. And we read that from the book of Revelations, that you can read that from Revelation chapter 2, that you see, Balaam, what he did was to teach Balak how to put a stumbling block. That is, our issue, your issue, my issue in life, is to ensure that we don't trip over the stumbling block that Satan puts before us. That's all. Listen, life has order. You know, I've been listening to messages and all of that. You know, sometimes when I'm hearing people teach, I have to consciously just knock off some things that they said that I know is totally not scripture, but and try and focus. And you have to learn that. Try and focus on the spirit. You understand? That try and focus on the spirit. It's not possible. Even if the person is correct, you may be the one that's wrong. Just to teach us something, you have to try and focus on the spirit that the person is passing across. You must try. You must try your best. Is it something you don't really totally agree with? You just say, all right, I agree. I understand. Then focus on the spirit. Don't let that distract you from the main thing, all right? From being blessed by that person, all right? Now, what I was going to say is that I was hearing people say that, you know, Satan is just wicked. He's just wicked. I know he's wicked. All right? I know he's wicked. That you see, Christians, you understand that they should have to fight this devil. Have to fight because he's just wicked. I know the guy is wicked. I am just saying that his wickedness is with rules and regulations. Listen, I know Satan is a thief. He was a thief when Job was alive. He was not righteous that time. He didn't get corrupted in the New Testament. Please, you must understand that. They say that Satan is a thief. And listen, for that reason, he's trying to steal your goods. You have to fight him back. I think we are wrong when we say those things, the way we say them. It will make it look as if, because he's a thief, he can take things that is not lawful for him to take. Let me tell you something. In the realm of the spirit, the policemen there don't sleep. I don't know whether you get my point. No, they don't. They don't. They are on duty all the time. They are powerful enough to handle him. Why do we still call him a thief? It's about his desire. I don't know what I get my point. It's not what he can execute. It's about his intent. Please, you must understand that point. So he desires to steal. But for him to steal, he must go about the spiritual order. I'm trying to make out an issue here. He must go about the spiritual order. To take from you, there's a method of stealing in the realm of the spirit. And how is it? You have to tempt. You must tell the person you want to steal from to cooperate with you without telling him you want to steal his goods. So you come to Eve and say, "As God really said," and Eve starts talking to you. Instead of easy to just leave you and walk away. That's how they steal on that side. You talk to Eve, tempt Eve, until Eve gives something, all right, as room, then you come into her life and through her life enter into the life of Adam. And when Adam eats the fruit also, you have stolen from him. It's about the intent. Now, you know what I'm going to emphasize in this? Christians make it look as if when the devil wants to come in, you just give him a fighting the devil. A lot of those things, when he wants to come in, is through temptations. I hope you're getting my point. It's those temptations you fight. Sometimes, in fact, not sometimes, a lot of times, most of the time, the temptation is just to doubt the word of God. Has God really said, you have been healed by his stripes? How come you have this headache? Are you getting my point? So the emphasis is not, I'm going to take my health back. The truth is that he can't take the health. Because if he took it, how did he get it? You gave it. The only way Satan can take from you is if he gave it to him. He doesn't have that power to break in steel and you start pursuing him. Hey, where did he take it? Where did he pass? Should I pursue? Pursue and overtake? No, it doesn't work like that. For him to take it, you gave it to him. And a lot of times, these are the temptations, all right? He hasn't taken it. He's making it appear, I don't know what I get what I'm saying, like he has taken it. So we'll not misinterpret it as if he has taken it. Let's now go and recover it. No. He didn't take it. He can't take it unless you give it to him. Sometimes people are praying unnecessary prayer. That's what I'm trying to make. Sometimes persuading them that, you know, the one I keep on attacking it every day because human beings sometimes, they behave as if they are deaf. I'm serious. You teach somebody, you just do the exact opposite. Honestly, so you have to keep saying these things again and again and again. All this talk, I don't talk here. Some people just say, it's a curse, it's a generational curse in my family. You don't know human beings. You know, sometimes you just understand God, we just say, oh, at least what more do you want me to do for you? That's one of them. In fact, if you follow me on Twitter, I just sent a tweet out today that, listen, there are two kinds of servants. There are servants that are cursed. That is, a servant of servants will he be. The generations have a curse over them that you will always be servants. But there are sons that are serving, waiting for the time they will take the throne. I don't know whether you get what I'm explaining there. So there are two servants there. One, both of them are doing the same thing. They are mopping the floor. Somebody is barking orders at them. Eleazar of Damascus is telling Isaac what to do. I don't know whether you can explain. He's telling him which portion of the farm to take care of, how not to breed animals. You think Isaac was just sitting at home? Is this modern day children that are spoiled when their father is rich? Go and read his parables of Jesus Christ. He will say, you sent a man had two sons. He said to one, go walk today. That's what big men do to their children those days. Is go walk today. So Eliezer was backing others. Now, amongst the people there, Isaac was one of the servants. So if you didn't know, you just get there, you see seven people walking. One of them was Isaac, the man that was going to inherit everything. So sometimes we are still in our servant level. That's talking about temptation of Satan. He now comes back to you and says, look at you, you are cursed. And then you, that's what I'm trying to explain. You believe him. And I say, what he has stolen, he didn't steal. You are not cursed. You are just in the servant's level. One day you are going to come out of it, whether you pray about it or not, as long as you are faithful. Then Satan now comes and tells you, can't you see? You have problems. That's what they call temptation. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to steal. Once you agree with him, you start doing the deeds of servants that are not going anywhere. You start trying to keep something on the side just in case. You know, sons who know that they are just serving for us, they don't do like that. They won't steal from their father. For what? They know one day this is going to be mine. What? In fact, not one day. It is already my own. I'm just working until such a time that I will now be able to take charge of it. But servants say, all this working and working and working. Nothing comes. It's my father's property. So they start stealing. You understand my point? They start becoming sharp. So that's what Satan does. That's what they call temptation. You now come to the fellow and say to him simply, see, you are a servant. You won't go far. Look at how much they are paying you. Your mates are doing like this. They talk. What are you doing here? They talk. At the end of the day, the guy believes it that I'm a servant. I'm cursed. So that I will one day be able to do something for myself. Let's start putting something aside. He starts, you know, his way is not straight anymore. But the one that knows he's a son, the thought can't enter his mind. Are you seeing what Satan does? People now say that he has stolen. He didn't steal. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The only thing, the way he steals is to lie to us. When we believe his lie, we give him everything. Let me say it again. Satan is not your problem. The devil is not your problem at all. Ancestral curses are not your problem. You are not in any bondage in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a matter of fact. But why does Satan, how does Satan get the power to afflict Christians? That's what I'm talking about. It is when they believe his lies and therefore step out of the secure zone. They step out of the hedge of God. Israel was protected until Balaam came, tried, it didn't work. He came, he went aside. He now called Balak and said, listen, no. This is how you are going to do it. You are going to get some of those your girls to go there half naked, dance before the boys, invite them for the party where you are sacrificing to other gods. Balak said, at least I have gotten some value for my money. Counsel. He tried it. It worked. Now, you know what I'm going to emphasize? You see, Christians must stop this nonsense. Devil. In fact, the truth is that we are too afraid of him. Have you noticed? Israel did not know he existed. and they were safe, as long as they obeyed God. Job did not know he existed, and he was safe, as long as he obeyed God. How much more you? Let me tell you something. You can afford to be ignorant totally of the existence of the devil, as long as you know the tricks of life, the temptations. That's the only thing you need to be aware of, his wiles. And what are the temptations? I preached that message that time. And I explained that Satan wants to steal some things. And the number one thing he's going for, just by the way, let me just add that one to it, is what? Your faith. Thank you. Satan is not saying, you will not take my car. The devil doesn't drive cars. What did I say? He doesn't want your car. Therefore, he will not take my job. Listen to me. The fellow does not want to work in your office. You must understand it. He's not interested. There are more serious problems to cause on this earth than coming to queue up in that your office, whether it's federal government or bank or oil company or whatever it is. He has to cause more problems. He doesn't want to work there. So doesn't want your job. Doesn't want your wife. I hope you know. He too is not planning to marry. What he wants is your faith, because that is how he takes you away from God. It's an assault on God. The only thing he wants is your faith. So what are the other things? They are the ways by which he goes out after the faith. And let me just say it again. People have said that God doesn't cause any trouble. I know. You must understand these things in context. They say it's only Satan. It's only sin. God allows you sometimes to be tempted. Did you hear what I said? Your car can get missing, and it is God that took it. Two angels went on a ride. The Lord is good. It sounds funny, right? You know, Pentecostal said, I lied. It's Satan. Quote me. That Pastor Banks says sometimes angels can steal a car. I like the way you are looking at me. I'm very happy. So why? It is simple. It's called the trial of your faith. That's what I'm trying to explain. It's called the trial of your faith. You see, I want us to take our eyes away from my car, my house, my job, my money. The problem is your faith. What did I say?
Your faith.
Say it, my faith. Every other thing, that's what they are going for. So that was why when God saw Satan that day, he said, have you considered my servant Job? And, you know, like I say all the time, let us Pentecostals hear it well. Word of faith people, let's hear it very well. It was never God's idea. Satan's idea to go after Job. It was never Satan's idea. God brought up the matter. And Satan resigned and said, that one is a no-go area. Then, of course, in his typical accusatory nature, he said, the reason why the man is serving me is because of all the blessings. And God wanted to prove, not to Satan, I know how to say it. I'm a teacher of the word. I'm anointed, amen. I know how to say it. So let me say it. God had to make a statement for generations to come. I hope you know, the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. Job has gone through all his sufferings before Jacob went anywhere. Are you getting my point? The oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. God wanted to make a statement for you and for me that it is possible for people to serve him for nothing. So when, not just you and me, for all the angels, the rebellion in the heaven had to be settled. That people can love God. I never give money unless I'm spending something in return. He's pleading for poverty. Poverty, please be my friend. Why do you want to divorce me now? Please don't go. That's what we are doing, begging poverty. Don't go. When we want to, all our service towards God is for all we can get. God said, no, I don't want it to be like that. I don't want it at all to be like that. So, the oldest book of the Bible was to prove to everybody that people can serve God for nothing.
And listen, I say it all the time. Christians, be careful. If you were Job, God would have lost that bet. I hope you know. The way we behave today. No, a lot of us pray today. God won't even let that. He said, hey, have you considered that? God won't even bring. Hey, lie, lie. Hey, embarrassment in the heavens. Never. He saw all your offerings. Did he not see it? As we're tying things to it. Don't tie shoe, tie car, tie husband, tie children, tie job, everything to the offering. He said, I know he sends me for something. I know he sends me for something. I know all of them. All these arrangements for something. I said, why are you bringing it up? Oh, yeah, banishing from here. God would they dodge. Can you believe it? Yeah. Lord, have mercy. We'll just go and embarrass him for nothing. God was very careful. As Satan was coming, he said, have you considered my son? Did you hear him say that? He didn't say it. He said, if you consider him, Wahala go boss. Because if Satan opens his mouth for some people, I said, does he save you for nothing? Because they meet who I know. I'm aware. I know why he's doing everything. I'm aware. Don't you see his prayer points every night? I'm aware. Why bring it up? You know? No, really. But God said, no. That's not what I want. I want people to serve me for nothing. And I want to give them a standard. Let them all see it. I want the angels to know that it's doable. I want the devil to know that it is doable. So he said, Satan, go. Afflict him any way you want. Just don't touch him. Satan, in one day, wiped out everything a man had labored for decades. In one day. What have you lost? In one day, he wiped out what a man had labored for. No, go and check it. The reports were coming one after the other. As the Bible says that just before this one finishes speaking, another one comes in. At the end of the day, wiped out all his children in one day. And the whole of heaven was now waiting to hear what Job would say. Satan was not satisfied when he took the cars. When he took the airplanes, he was not satisfied. When he took all the goods, he was not satisfied. Even when he killed the children, he still was not satisfied. Why? That was never the object. Are you seeing it? It was never the object. It was never the object. All those things were never the object. The issue was, what will he say? So after Job had done, Satan had done everything. Everybody now waited. You can imagine. You know, if not film, no sound at that time. The director don't shut the sound down. The occasionally you hear, again. He will wait. What Satan wanted to hear was, God, how will you do this to me after everything I've done for you? Down said, I know. That's what he's going to say. Just watch him. What is the purpose of serving God? Unbelievers don't even suffer like this. Satan was waiting for it. And don't think Satan, you know, they wait to just afar. Guys on the whisper. All the angels on the day, they whisper to Satan. He says to Job, you see, he said, you are serving God. What has he done for you now? What does righteousness pay? You can see it. These children that you've been prophesying over their lives, where are they? They are dead. All the goats and cows we're sacrificing in case they sinned. What has he done? You still believe in sacrifice? Ha! They were whispering. How do I know? His wife came. Go and read your Bible. Once you see the word Satan, according to Oswald Chambers, go and check it. There's a human being somewhere talking. That Satan is the summary of the arrangement between the devil and the human being. That's what Oswald Chambers said, not me. But you understand what I say? So he's there whispering to Job, and in the film, everybody's waiting. What will he say? The man said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh, and blessed be the name of the Lord. I can imagine Satan just took the shovel in his hand, threw it on the ground. What kind of nonsense is this? How did demon say, what is going on here? Don't worry, next time we go to heaven, we'll talk about this. Then he kept on pushing it forward. God said, no problem. Push it as far as you wish. As long as this fellow remains alive, I intend to use his life to prove that people can serve me for nothing. What am I saying? All of these things. At the end of the day, was Satan looking for money? Was he looking for children? No, he was trying to wreck somebody's faith. That's all. That's why people say that everything that Satan took from you, he took your car. You're going to get it back today. If Satan takes away my car, you know, I won't lie to you. I'll worship the Lord. I say, Lord, you know, I didn't even like the color of that one, self. I'm not kidding. I'm not joking. They have, in fact, you know, in Yoruba land, they have a saying, Ile Obatojo, Ewa Lubusi. You must have heard once Obinza Obi song like that. Yeah, what it means is that when the king's house burns, it has only become more beautiful. When the palace burns, it only becomes more beautiful. Because it is not possible to build a new palace that's not better than the former one. And it's in the scriptures, the glory of the latter house. It's in the Bible. Satan wants to take a car. Hey, go and drive. Thank you very much for dispossessing me of the old one. Because in the name of Jesus Christ, I am going to return with a better one. And that was what happened to Job. Because Satan was not looking for a car to drive. He wasn't trying to get his goods, his camels. Those are not the things. What Satan was looking for was, let's wreck this man's faith. Because once your faith is gone, everything will follow it. But if your faith remains standing, every good thing will be attracted to it. That's a matter of fact. What am I saying? You know, trying to get to what we've been talking about. That is why it's crucial that we do whatever we have to do as Christians to ensure that we remain in the faith. That's the summary of it. Because once we are in faith in Christ Jesus, once we are in the faith in the Word of God, listen, Satan cannot come in there. All this one that is a thief, is that people don't realize what he's trying to steal. That they're using prophecies to protect motor car and house. No. You have to use your prophecy. More importantly, to protect what? Your faith. And that's what we're talking about. So he puts a stumbling block. That's what we're reading. The teaching of Balaam, that Revelation chapter 2, he said, what Balaam did was to teach Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel. And what did they do? To eat things sacrificed to all idols and to commit acts of immorality. It was when they did that they came outside the protection of God. So we believers today, we must bear that in mind and ensure that we remain all the time in the protection of God within the limits that he said, within the barriers he has sent around us for our own protection. Satan is trying to draw us from there. And I said, this is what I've been talking about. This is the role of prayer. Jesus said to us in that Luke chapter 21, that be on your guard, praying, verse 36, but keep on the alert at all times, praying in order that you may have the strength to escape. That is, prayer is, that's what we focus our prayer on, one of the things we focus our prayer on. It's not our enemies, but to ensure that we are not caught suddenly, to ensure that Satan is not able. You know, I said last time, Jesus taught us to pray like this. He said, pray like this, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from doing evil. Not deliver us from evil that may come upon us, but deliver us so that we don't do evil. Help us, lead us in the path of righteousness for your own name's sake. That's that prayer. They asked him, how should we pray? He said, when you are making prayers, pray that you do not fall into temptation. When the disciples followed him to the garden, you know what he said? Come, let us pray. He said, can't you pray with me for 1 hour? What was the prayer point he gave them? What was the prayer point? Can you remember? Pray that you do not enter into temptation. That was the prayer. That gives me an idea that was what he was praying about too. I don't know whether I get my point. So that he wouldn't fall into temptation. And what were the words? He said, listen, this is the temptation of life. This is the will of God. I am aware of it, but it is difficult. Do you understand my point? He said, What I would rather do is this other one. But this is the will of God. But I cannot refuse to do the will of God, but I don't have the power to do the will of God. That's the summary. And that's what temptation is. It's a prayer so you don't enter into temptation. What was God trying to say? Listen, life can put pressure on you. The way by which, listen to this, the way by which you will overcome the pressure that life is putting on you is by prayer. That's what he was saying. That if you want to get up at night and pray, forget the witches. Pray against temptation. Tomorrow is the day they are coming, all these men who want to negotiate. Or, no, let me even leave that. Very important. Listen to this. You will enter political office one day. Many of you here. Did I hear an amen? Yes, you will. You will. You will become a governor. Listen. It just is a bank. What do you mean? Listen, it was decided last year. It's just that you don't know it yet. I know you have only one pair of shoes, but it doesn't matter. They don't use shoes to check whether you'll be governor or not. It is God that decides. Are you getting my point? Yes, and the person who being governor in 15 years' time was decided 2 years ago. You don't realize it. Even PDP does not know it. They may not even be in existence that time. No, get that clear. You're looking at me like this. One day you'll be a minister of petroleum. Are you getting my point? You know, it doesn't mean you are rich. It doesn't mean you are poor. It just means you have to do your job. Let me keep talking. You'll be a chief medical director. It is not a lie. I don't even say amen. It is... God in heaven, how do I explain this? It was Isaiah last year. You said amen last year. Did not know you were saying amen. Now you have been condemned to that office. I don't know that. It's too late. Listen. I feel like preaching. It's too late to refuse. The only thing you can decide now is how well you will do when you are there. Listen, who appointed Saul as king of Israel? What killed Saul? The appointment. You know that? If Saul had never gone to that throne, he would have lived longer. He wouldn't be a bad name to be remembering today. How many people give their children Saul these days? I don't even know. You understand my point? Your life just wrecked a name for a whole generation. It's not good. That Judas name was a good name until they gave birth to that boy. After he betrayed his master, every sane human being kept away from the name. Even if your name was Judas, you changed it to Jude. Now, the point I was making is that that's all of a creature. You understand my point? Who made him king? You know, he didn't even want it. Go and read it. They went and found him hiding under, among the sack or something. He said, okay, we're going to appoint king. He said, I know. That Samuel said it's me. So he ran away. He said, if I'm not there that day, at least they'll have to appoint somebody else. They went and looked for him and they found him. So the fact that God appointed you to something is not guaranteed that you will do well there or prosper there or live long there. Who appointed Jeroboam? No, answer me like you believe it. Who appointed Jeroboam? What ruined Jeroboam? That appointment. So bad was it that Jeroboam now became a standard of iniquity in Israel. That God will say, I'm going to punish this household. Not only for the sin that he did, but for the one that he caused Israel to commit. That's how bad Jeroboam's sin was. And that sin would never have come off if that fellow was not king. Let's get this one clear. As a Christian, as a child of God, and as a human being, all of them put together. Last year, I don't know why I'm emphasizing this last year, but I believe the Holy Spirit. Last year, that you will occupy a powerful office in this land, it was decided. My message today is to know whether your appointment will become like that of David or like that of Jeroboam. As for the appointment, it's no longer shakeable. It's no longer shakeable. Some people are going to be MDs of multinationals built 50 years before they were born. Because all of these things belong to God. You go to one bank, who's the MD? They mention it. God just put him there over what he created. No human being can create anything.
He said, I rule in the affairs of men. And I give that kingdom over to whomsoever I please. If I like this man, put him there. If he will serve my purpose. And sometimes. What happens at a particular crucial point, God determines who's going to one particular office. Once he determines it, it's locked. It's locked. That's, you are going to get there anyway. Whether they will behead you after 6 months. According to divine commandment, it's a different matter. What am I talking about? We are saying we keep ourselves from temptation by prayer. It's not by, I'll be a strong man. The last man who uttered in my presence that I'm a strong man, he died that week. I've told the story before. When I was 7, a young boy went into the bush with his friends to go and hunt game. A gun misfired, hit him in the shoulder. A locally made gun. They rushed him to the hospital. Maybe, I don't know who managed immediately he arrived, but I remember I joined the team when they had to go and clear the wound, see all kinds of debris inside. I don't know how we managed the case, but whatever it is, that day when they were clearing the wound, they did it under a light form of anesthesia. So he woke up, he didn't really sleep, he was just sedated a bit. So immediately after, he got up and said, it's because I'm a man, that if that kind of gun had hit a normal person, they would be dead now. But me, as a man, you know, and I was a strong young guy. And remember, about 3 people shouted simultaneously, shut your mouth. What do you mean you're a man? It's not because God spared your life. I traveled that weekend. I came back on Monday, he had tetanus. 4 days later, he was dead. I'm convinced. If he had gotten up down there and said, God, I thank you for this opportunity to live, he would not have had that tetanus. He would not have died. He opened his mouth and said, I survived that shot because I'm a man. God said, okay, survive this one, let me see. You don't want to see a man with his kind of muscles have a tetanic clonus. You don't want to see it.